This is VK6ARN, News West. We are a community organisation and we've been serving up the best amateur radio news in Australia since 1931. Hi there, I'm Clinton, VK6FCIC, and welcome to News West for the 1st of October 2023. Now on with the show.
4 weeks. 4 weeks until Perth Tech. Who would have thought it had come round so quickly? No, I'm not panicking, not yet. The program's in the bag, and we have some excellent presentations, a full day of them. You really wouldn't want to miss out, so don't. Perth Tech 2023 is at the Gidgeganup Recreation Club, 2J Road in Gidgeganup, just under 20 kilometres up 2J Road from Roe Highway. It's closer to the CBD than many of Perth's so-called suburbs. I unashamedly promote Perth Tech as the premier event of its kind in Australia. I know there are others, but we've been able to offer one thing that the others haven't. It's free. Yep, entry to Perth Tech is free, however. We do charge you $25, which is a full pass-on cost to the caterers who'll supply morning tea, lunch, afternoon tea, and all-day coffee. The lunch fee is not optional. And on the subject of coffee, the caterers last year couldn't believe how much coffee one group of people could consume all day. The Perth Tech Weekend is 27th, 28th, 29th of October. The main event's on Saturday, and we have on-site spaces for caravans and campers on Friday and Saturday nights, and these are charged at $15 per night, per van, camper or tent. And this is a pass-on fee to the venue. The toilets and showers are in the sports club change rooms. The singing of rousing songs in the change rooms is optional. On Saturday evening, there's a sundowner. The bar will be open for you to purchase drinks and you'll enjoy a barbecue dinner. And the sundowner is an extra $15. And you can book all of these options online at our Try Booking site. The link is on our website at vk6.net. It's absolutely essential to reserve your spot at the Perth Tech main event on Saturday. We will not accept walk-ins, so book early to avoid disappointment. The website is vk6.net. There are links to the bookings and updated Perth Tech information.
Hi, I'm Steve, VK6SJ, with this week's episode of Did You Know? As mentioned the week before last week, this week I'll be doing a review of the 403A Flex Radio PGXL amplifier. This amplifier was designed jointly by Flex Radio and 403A, although while built with the Flex 6000 series radios in mind, is equally good with any other conventional transceiver. I've owned one of these amps for around 18 months now, and it's the last of a string of previous amps of other brands, starting with an RM Italy 600 watt amp that lasted less than an hour, to an Andrews Comms 400 watt solid state amplifier, then an old FL2100 Yaesu amp, and then an SPE 1KFA amplifier. Each amp had its good points. The SP amp was good value for money and convenient in that it has an internal antenna tuner and a 4 antenna switched output, meaning I could get away with less than an optimal antenna and I didn't need to worry about adding a remotely switchable coaxial relay. This amp is externally controllable via a proprietary application and can also follow the radio when connected via a serial port, so it was a reasonable choice for a remote station as well. Well, how about the PGXL? It's a nominally 1.5 kilowatt amplifier. However, in SSB, it will do up to 2 kilowatts PEP depending on the band used. With a pair of 1.5 kilowatt transistors and some very robust design, the amp can work comfortably at 1.5 kilowatts all day on any mode, subject, of course, to local laws limiting power output, even on modes running at 100% duty cycle like FT8. The amp has a few unique features from a performance perspective that are worth mentioning here. Most amplifiers these days have high VSWR protection. The PGXL is no different and will continue to operate up to a VSWR of 3 to 1. When at that point it alarms out. Prior to that point, it works just fine. Most of my antennas seem to run between 1.1 and 2 to 1 across most bands except 20 metres, where I seem to only have about 200 kHz bandwidth. On-air tests bring out some interesting features. There's an app used to allow monitoring of the important parts of the amplifier on your PC. A lot of higher-end amps have a similar feature, but 403A have created a remote connectivity feature that, providing you have a fixed IP address at the site, you can remotely monitor the amplifier. You do need to create a port forward on the DSL modem at the amplifier end to allow the comms through to the interwebs. Other features include two inputs outputs, so you can run two radios independently with two complete data inputs to control the amp and two PTT and ALC inputs. Obviously, you can't run two radios in transmit at the same time, but if you use two radios and want both to be able to access the amp, this is a neat feature. On SSB, the amplifier runs in what is called an AAB mode. This is similar to Class AB, but a little bit more linear and correspondingly a little less efficient. It also runs a mode known as MEFAA, which is used on non-voice modes such as CW and digital modes. This is an algorithm that manages the DC bias on the drain of the PA final transistors, increasing the efficiency of the amplifier. Another neat feature is the harmonics filtering and dummy load. This is a common feature in broadcast transmitter amplifiers and used for the first time on an amateur amp that diplexes the harmonics and feeds the harmonics into a 400-watt dummy load. Without this facility, the PA continues to amplify any harmonics, which are then dissipated by either the final filtering or within the PA itself. To cool the amplifier, there are three E-fans that operate at different speeds or modes depending on the temperature of the amplifier and can also be manually adjusted. When doing the weekly broadcast on 80 metres, I tend to use the fans in broadcast mode, which keeps the amp very cool, even when transmitting constantly for an hour at 400 watts PEP. If you're using the amp in the shack where you operate from, the amplifier has a front panel that allows complete monitoring of the amplifier locally. Like most 2kW amps, it's a big beastie and heavy, but a lot lighter than, say, an Acom 2000A valve amplifier. This amp is mains powered and operates comfortably with a 10 amp GPO. Maintenance is often a hot topic with high power solid state amps. These have been sold in Australia for close to 2 years now, and to my knowledge only one has bounced back on warranty. This fault required the replacement of the two PA transistors. The fix was identified quickly by 403A, and two new pills were dispatched from Montenegro, where the factory is, and received here in Perth within about 5 days, and the amp was repaired quickly in Perth with a minimum of fuss. The amplifier was developed jointly by Flex Radio and 403A, so works seamlessly with the Flex 6000 series of transceiver. As long as the amp is connected to the same LAN as the radio, all main performance parameters are visible within Smart SDR and the operator interface used by Flex, and the only hardware connection between the radio and amp is the coax cable. All control of the amplifier is via the LAN. If you're using a non-Flex transceiver, there's an RS232 serial port as well as an ICOM CIV port. The amp will communicate with all mainstream radios, including Flex, ICOM, Yaesu, Kenwood, etc. And in addition, there are separate PTT and ALC inputs for each input of the amplifier. Common comment I've heard on this amp is that at a healthy price tag of in excess of $12,000, it really should have antenna switching and an inbuilt ATU. My take on this is that with the ability to work within 3:1 and less VSWR, it really doesn't need an ATU. If you're operating at 2 kilowatts, presumably from overseas where it might be allowed, you really wouldn't be wanting to be trying to feed 2 kilowatts into an antenna with an SWR of more than 2:1 with or without an ATU. If your amp alarms out at 1.3:1, then an external or internal ATU would be a complete necessity. A perfectly tuned antenna can easily go up to 1.3:1 with a warmer balun. And having operated the amp on a few DX contests, I can tell you this is a robust and travel-free amplifier that I'm very happy with, and I expect that unless ACMA surprise us with allowing more than 2 kilowatts, this will probably be the last brand of amp I have in my shack. The other comment is on the antenna switching capability. On my site that I share with three friends, we currently have 7 antennas and will likely have 3 or 4 added in the next 12 months, so the 4 antenna ports on my trusty old SPE-1KFA would still fall short, so I opted for a pair of 403A antenna geniuses, which allow 2 radios to access up to 16 antennas. If I brought an amp with 4 antenna ports, I'd still only be using 1 antenna port in addition to the antenna geniuses. Alright, next week, might have a look at the antenna genius suite of switches. Thanks for listening again. This is Steve, AK6SJ, and you've been listening to Did You Know? On the News West broadcast.
This is News West from VK6ARN, produced by amateurs for amateurs, purely about the hobby of amateur communication and experimentation.
Hello, this is Dennis, VK6AKR for the WAVHF group. September has been a busy month for us, culminating in our annual general meeting last Monday. The club has re-elected its executive members, and we welcome Alastair, VK6ATX, to committee. Alastair is a skilled and experienced amateur operator, and we look forward to his contributions to club activities in a committee role. The Perth RTTY sessions continue with only one hiccup due to weather. We used the VK6RFM repeater as a coordination channel on Wednesday evening, and it proved useful to pass on hints, especially for those cases where poor RTTY signal-to-noise ratio created problems for some participants. The normal Wednesday night sked may prevent others from getting on air, so we could offer an alternative or additional night as an experiment. Suggestions are welcome, either on WA Hams or to the WAVHF group. Activity is increasing in the lead-up to JOTA in just under 3 weeks' time. Clubs and individuals, please make contact with your local scout group and offer your services to make this a really successful experience for scouts of all ages. The WAVHF group will support a couple of sites and hopefully even more next year. Perth Tech is on at the end of this month. The WAVHF group will have a table there, so come and say hello to Robert, VK6WHO, Dave, VK6KV, me, VK6AKR, and others who may be there. We will have a few of our projects on display so that you can get an idea of what we do to share and enhance amateur radio in VK6. If you are near Wireless Hill in Applecross next Saturday the 7th, please consider dropping in. That is our first activity day for October, so call in for a cuppa and a chat. You'll find us a pretty friendly bunch. 73 from Dennis, VK6AKR, for the WAVHF Group, Incorporated.
Yes, it's me again. I'm Bob, VK6POP, reminding you of the fantastic Perth Tech Raffle. We have three fantastic transceivers as prizes, and any of which would be a useful addition to your radio arsenal. Leading the prize list is a Jaeguz X6100 portable SDR transceiver, which is a well-featured radio, and it's got a built-in battery and antenna tuner with many other features. The Jaeguz is valued at a dollar under $1,000. The second prize is the Icom IC2730A dual-band VHF UHF transceiver with remote head. This rig has dual-band simultaneous receive capability with easy-to-see large white backlit LCD display screen, 50 watts of output power on both VHF and UHF, so that's a handy little rig, and it can be used with an optional Bluetooth headset. Be great for driving, wouldn't it? And third prize is a Yaesu FTM3100R. It's an analog FM 2-meter transceiver, and it's a tough little unit, and it provides an output power of up to 65 watts. There you go. And the tickets are on sale now, and the raffle will be drawn at Perth Tech on Saturday the 28th of October. Prizes will be posted or delivered to winners who are not present at Perth Tech, so you don't have to be there. Although you should be at Perth Tech, but you don't have to be there to win a raffle prize. Tickets are only $5 each, and the link to online ticket sales is on our vk6.net website. Did you get that? vk6.net. The Perth Tech Raffle is conducted by WA Amateur Radio News Incorporated, and the proceeds of this raffle enable us to stage Perth Tech for the benefit of amateur radio in Western Australia. Go to vk6.net to purchase tickets.
Hello everyone, this is Clive, VK6 Charlie Sierra Whiskey, reminding you that the Radio Amateurs Old Timers Club of Australia's October Bulletin goes to air tomorrow. The experimental 10-metre transmission. Last month's experimental 28.450 MHz transmission by Mike, VK8MA, from Catherine in the Northern Territory, came to naught. Propagation became weak about an hour before the scheduled time of 2 p.m. WA time, and then shortly before 2 p.m., Mike's QTH suffered a lengthy power failure. Nevertheless, Mike thanks everyone who listened out on 10 metres and hopes for better luck if this propagation experiment is repeated in the future. Now, this month, Andrew, VK3CAH, brings us the latest club news, after which I'll be talking about the Earth Inductor Compass, followed by Bill, VK3BR, telling us about the AA3 Mark 7 gunfire control system. Everyone, RAOTC members and non-members alike, is most welcome to listen to the program and to join in the callbacks afterwards. At 8 a.m. local time tomorrow, there's a transmission via digital mobile radio on the VKDMR network talk group 5. At 9 a.m, Chris, VK6JI, will transmit the bulletin on 80 meters on 3620 kHz. And at 10 a.m, there's a transmission via the NewsWest linked repeater system, together with a transmission on 40 meters on 7088 kHz by Chris, VK6JI. On Wednesday, October the 4th, we have a D-Star broadcast at 4:30 p.m. WA local time. This will be transmitted via D-Star Reflector 91C and will follow the D-Star news line. On Sunday, October the 8th, repeats of the RAOTC bulletin follow the 160-metre and 40-metre broadcasts of the WIA news. Full details of all transmissions, times and frequencies are published on the RAOTC website at raotc.org.au or just Google RAOTC broadcasts. If none of these times suit you, you can download the audio file at any time from today, but if you do download the file, some brief feedback comments would be appreciated. The next lunchtime meeting for members and friends of the RAOTC is on Tuesday the 10th of October at the Woodbridge Hotel, 50 East Street, Guildford. We meet at 11:30 a.m. for midday lunch. An attractive, well-priced seniors menu is available, which can be viewed online. Everyone's welcome to join in and have an eyeball QSO. There's adequate car parking, but if coming by train, be sure to alight at Guildford East, repeat, Guildford East Station. Full details are on the club website under the heading Luncheons. Once again, tune in tomorrow for the October broadcast, and we look forward to hearing your call sign in the callbacks. 73 from Clive, VK6CSW.
I'd noticed that Dennis, VK6AKR, was organising a Ritty night on 2 metres on Wednesday evenings. As usual, I thought, ho-hum, I've got other stuff to do, and never gave it a second thought. Well, last Wednesday I did give it a second thought. My first thought was that I need to do the washing up, and second thoughts won the day, or rather the night. I left the kitchen and wandered into the shack, and switched on the radios, started up a Ritty app on the computer, set the radio to the agreed frequency, and crickets. This can't be right, so I turned up the volume, and I could hear some clowns woofing away on the wrong frequency. Silly them. I put out a call on the agreed frequency. Nothing. So I went chasing the fools on the wrong frequency, and there they all were. Someone had a GPS-locked thingy on their radio, and everyone had tweaked up to match. Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Once the little twiddly thing on the screen took its shape and the green thing went to its maximum, the Ritty was decoding. And I do apologise for the overly technical language there. Something I'd forgotten, because it had been so long since I'd used Ritty, was that the software was happily decoding signals that I couldn't hear. Inaudible signals. I had decodes from 4 stations. The closest to my Gidgeganup, QTH, was 50 kilometres, and it was all working a treat. So what about you having a go at Ritty? It is fun. Chatting via the keyboard was invented many decades ago, way before Bill Gates got his first abacus for Christmas. You heard me mention Ritty. It's how we pronounce the abbreviation RTTY, which means radio teletype. So during the week, keep an eye out for an email from Dennis to the WA Hams email list. Then tune up and tune in. It's on 2 metres. It's fun. Maybe someone could organise a short contest or an on-air game or a quiz or whatever. Over to you.
In Western Australia and beyond, News West is available on air, online and on demand. Visit our website vk6.net to find out how. This is VK6 Amateur Radio News.
Foundations of Amateur Radio. If you've been following my amateur radio journey, you'll have likely noticed that I've been straying from the fold. The words I use for power have been changing. I've reduced references to watt and increased use of the term decibel. Initially, this was incidental. Recently, it's been more of a deliberate decision, and I'd like to explain how this came to be. It starts with representing really big and really small numbers. Let's start big. On 14 September 2015, the first direct observation of gravitational waves was made when a pair of black holes with a combined estimated weight of 65 solar masses merged. The signal was named Golf Whiskey 150914, combining gravitational wave and the observation date to immortalize the event. Following the collision, it was estimated that the radiated energy from the resulting gravitational waves was 50 times the combined power output of all the light from all the stars in the observable universe. As a number in watts, that's 36 followed by 48 zeros. If you're curious, there's even a word for that. 36 quindecillion watts. Now let's look at small. The typical signal strength received from a GPS satellite, like say by your phone, is about 178 attowatts, or in watts, 0.000 and so on, in all 13 zeros, between the decimal point and then 178. What if I told you that the energy associated with the collision of those two black holes could be expressed in comparison with a milliwatt? Remember, this collision emitted more energy than all the output of light from all the stars in the observable universe. The expression for all that power is 526 dBm. Similarly, the tiny received GPS signal can be expressed as minus 127.5 dBm. Just let that sink in. All the power in the observable universe through to the minuscule power received by the GPS in your phone, all expressed between 526 dBm and minus 127.5 dBm, and not a zero in sight. As I mentioned, the unit dBm relates to a milliwatt. As a starting point, let me tell you that 1 watt is 1,000 milliwatts and is represented by 30 dBm. The decibel scale doesn't work quite the same as other number ranges you might be used to. Adding the value 3 doubles its size, and adding the value 10 increases its size by a factor 10. For example, to double power from 1 watt or 30 dBm, add 3 and get 33 dBm, which is the same as 2 watts. If you want to increase 1 watt by a factor 10, again starting with 30 dBm, add 10 and get 40 dBm, which is 10 watts. Similarly, 50 dBm is 100 watts and 60 dBm is 1000 watts. Going the other way, halving power, remove 3. So, taking 3 from 60 dBm is 500 watts, or 57 dBm. Dividing power by a factor 10 works the same. Take 10. So, 47 dBm is 50 watts and 37 dBm is 5 watts. If you get lost, remember dBm relates to a milliwatt. 1 watt is 1,000 milliwatts and is represented by 30 dBm. Divide by a factor 1,000, remove 30, and end up with 0 dBm, which is the same as 1 milliwatt. I'll say that again. 0 dBm is the same as 1 milliwatt. It takes a little getting used to, but you can do some nifty things. For example, remove 10 to get a tenth of a milliwatt, or minus 10 dBm. The same process of adding and subtracting applies in other ways too. Attenuation, or making a signal weaker, and amplification, or making a signal stronger, can use the same rules. For example, If you apply 3 dB of attenuation, you're making the signal 3 dB weaker, or halving it, so you subtract 3 dB from your power output. If your amplifier is rated at 6 dB gain, you're quadrupling the output and you add 6 dB to your power output. Similarly, if you talk about the gain of an antenna, you add it. If the gain is 20 dBi, you add it to the power output. You can use this for coax loss calculations as well. A 100-meter length of RG58 at 28 MHz has a loss of 8 dB. You can directly subtract this from the power output of the transmitter and know precisely how much power is making it to the antenna. There's more. The radio amateur S9 signal strength on HF, something which we consider to be a strong signal, can be expressed as minus 73 dBm, or a very small fraction of a milliwatt. An S8 signal is 6 dB weaker, or minus 79 dBm. A 20 over 9 report is minus 53 dBm. I will point out that this is at 50 ohm. As a result, we now have a continuous scale for all the elements in the transmission chain between the transmitter and the receiver. While I'm here, I've already mentioned that negative dBm readings relate to fractions of a milliwatt, so values between 0 and 1. This highlights one limitation of this scale. We cannot represent 0 watts. Mind you, that doesn't happen all that often. The thermal noise floor in space at 1 Hz bandwidth, that's at 4 kelvins, is minus 192.5 dBm, which practically means the minimum level of power we need to express. It's also a good value to remember, because if you're doing funky calculations and you end up with a number less than minus 192.5 dBm, you can pretty much guarantee that you've probably made a boo-boo. 0 watts using the dBm scale is represented by negative infinity, or essentially a division by zero error. Really not defined. So, there's that. I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima Alpha Bravo. Lima.
Hello and good morning, this is Roy, VK6 X-ray Victor, with this week's helpline for the 1st of October, brand new month, and I don't have any new items for you, but I still have 3 repeats from last week. We're looking for a Collins 5-1 Juliet 4 general coverage receiver, prefer working condition of course, prepared to administer TLC if need be, says Steve, VK6 Victor Zulu. Now let him know what the details are and how much, etc. His email address is Sierra Tango Echo Victor Kilo 6 Victor Zulu at tpg.com.au. That is Steve Victor Kilo 6 Victor Zulu at tpg.com.au. Next one wanted is an antenna analyzer covering frequencies from 100 kHz to 600 MHz, such as the Rig Expert or other brands similar, can sweep the spectrum. Not a nano VNA, says Mark, VK6 Bravo Sierra Alpha. If you have one of those and surplus to your requirements, please contact Mark. His email address is victorkilo6bravosierraalpha@gmail.com. victorkilo6bravosierraalpha@gmail.com. And Wayne, VK6 November Whiskey, may still have a Kenwood TS450 Sierra for sale, excellent condition. Asking $700. Contact him on 0499-450-505. Again, that's 0499-450-505. Wayne, VK6 November Whiskey. Also, a Daiwa controller is available for $350. A vacuum tube voltmeter for $50 from Barry, VK6 Alpha Delta India. His email address is bravo.juliet.burns@bingpod.com. bravo.juliet.burns, that's Bravo Uniform Romeo November Sierra, at bigpond.com, or mobile 0428-959-771. 0428-959-771, and that's me for this week. Thank you for those who are still tuned in and listening. My email address for any correspondence next week is roy.watkins@bigpond.com. roy.watkins@bigpond.com. Cheers and 73s from VK6 X-ray Victor.
Hi there, I'm Clinton, VK6 FCRC, and I'd like to thank our News West team of volunteers and broadcasters each week, and those regularly submitting content each week. I'd also like to thank our readers and you for listening. Please stand by now for callbacks after the ident, or if nobody is taking callbacks, please fill out the form on the VK6.net website so we know how many people are listening or reading News West each week.